Just to say a few words about the role of mindfulness in habit change. You know, as I was emphasizing earlier, if habits are largely outside of our conscious awareness, as it were, under the radar, then it's really essential that we bring the patterns into awareness in order to be able to make change. Without bringing them into awareness, it's pretty difficult to make change, because it's just like we're not seeing it. You know, that you know, I've worked with people who had eating issues, and you know, somebody described, you know, how they might be sitting watching TV and there's just a feeling comes over them, and the next thing they know, they've consumed, you know, a bowl of ice cream or a lot of sweets. And then I ask them, well, what did you notice in the time in between, you know, the walking to the kitchen and the opening and the eating? And it's like, but really not very much at all about that. That's kind of in the realm of unconsciousness, because the process, you know, the stimulus, the context has stimulated the response, and it's kind of, you know, the rest is kind of, it's outside of awareness, largely. I mean, obviously, if you, you know, said something to the person, what are you doing now? They'd know what they were doing, in the same way as when we're driving, we might be, you know, on our vacation somewhere, but presumably we're not driving up on the pavement. We're doing enough to kind of be, you know, be doing what we're, you know, supposed to be doing in one way, but being completely somewhere else at the same time. So so it's essential that we bring behaviors into the light of awareness in order to make change. That a very senior meditation teacher, Christina Feldman, put it this way. She said, the essence of mindfulness is to bring the light of attention to all that has been invisible and habitual. So the essence of mindfulness is to bring the light of attention to all that has been invisible and habitual. So what's invisible and habitual, we shine the light on so that then we can make change. So, you know, just to say a few words about mindfulness, probably familiar to, you know, to many of you, most of you. But mindfulness is just a very simple practice of bringing awareness to our experience as it is, in a non-judging way. So bringing a kind acceptance to whatever is here, moment to moment. You know, very simple, and yet, as we know, not easy. Precisely because we get pulled off in so many different directions and we have so many patterns that take us elsewhere. So, in a sense, the habitual and the mindful are kind of opposite sides of the coin. I mean, they're opposites to each other. One unconscious and automatic, the other conscious and intentional. Kind of shining the light on what we're unaware of. And so what we cultivate mindfulness in formal practice through meditation, just being aware of the breath or the body or sound or whatever's here moment to moment, and then training ourselves. We could use the breath as a focus, cultivating attention, coming back. And every time we come back, every time we pay attention to our experience, every time we come back to the present, to the body, to the breath, we're strengthening the pathways in our brain that are helping us to be present, that are making it more of our default to be here rather than somewhere else. So in a sense, in any moment, we have the choice of either cultivating presence, being here now, or being somewhere else. And a lot of the time, we're cultivating being somewhere else. Not just distraction, that's one piece of it, as I said, you know, being lost in our thoughts. But it could be just caught up in our, you know, our strong emotion. you know, where we're really identified with our anger, for example. You know, we're caught up in that. Again, we're not really present for that experience if we're caught up in that story, you know, if we're caught up in the anger. And I make a distinction between being caught up and being aware. So if you know, something triggers you, you know, maybe it's something habitual, you know, that you're in a situation and you're primed, you're tense, you're tight, somebody says something or does something, and you get angry. Insofar as you're in that anger state, it's not a state of awareness. You know, it's acting out some strong emotions, probably acted out many times before, that you're kind of repeating patterns. The difference with mindfulness is that we bring those behaviors, those feelings, those thoughts into awareness. We say, oh, this is anger. Oh, I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling tightness in my chest, in my belly. I'm feeling heat in my face. I'm aware of all of these thoughts about how I'm going to do something to this person or say something to this person. You know, there's awareness of it. So that's the key distinction, really, being swept up in something, being caught up in experience, or being aware of it. And really, that's the difference between freedom and suffering, isn't it? That if we're caught up in something, then we're inevitably we're suffering. We're not present. We're being swept along really by our emotions or by our thoughts. But if we can, whatever it is and however difficult it is, if we can bring awareness to that experience, then we're back in the present. Then we're in the place. It's like you could say we're kind of back in the driver's seat again. Whereas in the other situation, we're not in the driver's seat at all. We're being pulled along often by old patterns, old habits, strong energies, with being pulled along by the energies rather than being aware of the energies. Does that distinction make a difference? I mean, does that resonate? That sense of being caught up. I think we all know it, like when we're swept up in anything, you know, could be swept up in distraction. You know, we're not aware. We're being pulled along by other energies. But all that it takes is that momentary moment of presence, of saying, okay, oh yeah, I feel my breath, feel my body, I'm back here now, I can now bring awareness to the emotions, to the thoughts, to the feelings. So that's kind of the choice point, if you like. That's the point where we could go down the old pathway, or we could be stuck in, you know, whatever, being swept away in something, or we become aware of it. There's a wonderful... mindfulness brings what's unconscious and automatic into the light of awareness. And then when we pay attention to our experience and see that a behavior or a pattern of thinking isn't serving us, then we can commit to taking steps to make change. So mindfulness really makes what was invisible, visible. So it kind of brings the invisible into the light of awareness. There's a wonderful saying from Viktor Frankl, the psychologist. He says, between the stimulus and the response is a space. In that space lies our ability to choose, and in our ability to choose lies our power and our freedom. So it's really three steps. Between stimulus and response is a space. So stimulus might be, you know, that feeling of somebody says something and then we feel the response is to get angry with them. Now, without awareness, we go straight from stimulus to response. Somebody says something angry to you and you kind of hit back at them. Or they send you an angry email, what you interpret as an angry email, and boom, back at them. And then there's that cycle. And then, you know, the likelihood is that they're annoyed at you for what you've said. And, you know, kind of you stay in that cycle. If you can find the space then choice becomes available. So the space basically is mindfulness, is to say, you know, if somebody says something, you know, maybe a spouse or a partner or a family member or a friend says something, maybe it's not even that, you know, heavier thing, but maybe it just has that kind of underlying energy or tone to it, you know, and it feels like a dig or you feel like you're being attacked. Very easy you go into that defensive mode or angry mode. But if you can just stop, you know, just stop, just pause and feel what you're feeling. If you can stop and feel what you're feeling, then there's the opportunity to go down a different path. That's the space between stimulus and response. You've broken that kind of automatic link between stimulus and response. And you've come into awareness of your experience, tightness, heat, lots of thoughts. And in that situation, there's always at least two choices. You know, one choice is, yes, you could, you know, throw back the angry response. The alternative is you might just stay with what you're feeling. Allow yourself to feel what you're feeling. And then that may open up other choices. You know, maybe it's to respond in a way that's kind and that's thoughtful or discerning and wise rather than reactive. So once we're in that place, that space between stimulus and response, the choices become available. And with choice, there's always, you know, there's healthier choices, more beneficial choices, and less beneficial ones. So what is a choice that leads to greater happiness, greater well-being? That's the possibility that mindfulness brings. So one of the things that that I found helpful when I was thinking about habits and habit change and bringing mindfulness to habit change is to see the habit not just in one time period, you know, not just in the present of like being you know, having that feeling of like, oh, ice cream, you know, or angry response, or let me check out my phone now. Not just in that period, but also in the period before and after, so that we can look at the process of habit, both habit formation, but also the expression of habits before, during, and after. And some habits we can deal with in different time periods. So, for example, if a habit of yours is to, you know, walk home from work or from the station, let's say, to home, and every day you pass a donut shop, and there has, you know, after a while, the donut shop develops a strong magnetic pull. You know, it has a kind of pulls you into it as you walk past. That after a while, or maybe, you know, a few days, oh yeah, I'd like a donut or two today. And then, you know, as in my ice cream example, you know, you do it a few times and it's like, oh, this is what I do every day. You know, I do that. Now, one thing you could do is if you bring awareness to that process and you realize, oh, actually I've put on 10 pounds in the last 4 months, you know, since I've started walking home and stopping at the donut shop. So, you know, you can become aware of that. Then what might you do? How might you work with that? Well, one thing you could do, of course, is you could walk past the donut shop. Like Odysseus, you know, in the Iliad, you know, the sailors, when the sirens, they'd go past the sirens with their singing, which would be very seductive. And the sailors would kind of go, you know, they'd go off and they'd be lost, you know, because of the seduction. So what they had to do was to tie them down so that when they heard the seductive singing of the sirens, you know, they wouldn't be able to get away. So, you know, we could do that. We could kind of say, oh, you know, I'm gonna walk past and I'm going to be really strong and I'm not going to go in and have the donut. But alternatively, we might say, okay, I'm going to go home a different way, you know, or I'm going to get the bus rather than going home. So you could avoid actually feeling the stimulus, you know, and experiencing it. And that might be a wise thing to do. You know, it could be a... Or another example, if you find yourself snacking on sweets at home, you know, in the evening, you might take a step back from that rather than just looking at that moment where you're feeling like, oh, I want to have a snack. You could say, well, do I want to have sweets in the house at all? And maybe, you know, when I go to the store to shop, you know, how about I just get nuts or fruit, nuts or healthy snacks, you know? So in that way, when the temptation comes, there isn't that kind of gravitational pull in that direction towards the unhealthy response. So we could look at, we can bring awareness to habits in that time period before, you know, what happens before I get to the point where I do that thing that I wish I didn't do. Or maybe I don't do the thing that I wish I did do. You know, what am I aware of before that? And can I influence that in any way? You know, can I have an impact on that? Can I avoid going down unhealthy directions? So that's the before part. The during part is a lot, you know, where using that cliche where the rubber meets the road, you know, where we feel that we kind of maybe an energetic pull to, you know, the impulse to do something or say something or eat something or check out. The main way of dealing with a habit at that time is to stay with the direct experience, to kind of stay with the feelings. If there is that feeling of like, oh, I'm wanting to send the angry email, rather than kind of getting into that story of, oh yeah, well, I'm going to say this, to actually come back and feel what we're feeling in the body, you know, come back to the breath, come back to the to body, bring awareness to thoughts rather than being caught, you know, step out of the thoughts to be aware of them. And then if what we can do is, you know, sometimes we talk about this as riding the waves of those urges or sensations. It's to feel the energy, but without acting on them, on it. You know, it's like, you know, if you were trying to give up smoking, or you felt, you know, maybe you were recovering from an addiction and you felt that urge to smoke or to take the drug or the drink or whatever. One of the things that ways of working with those urges and those feelings is to see them as impermanent, that, you know, they don't last forever. The mind will often say, yeah, but I got to have this because this feeling is going to just keep on going. But if we really bring awareness to it, a strong feeling or a strong urge or a strong emotion actually has a lifespan, you know, and you can feel it as like a wave. And you can think of mindfulness as like surfing the wave, you know, of just bringing, just seeing, oh yeah, this is a strong energy, but can I stay with this? Can I ride this wave? And maybe after a while, probably it will subside. You know, and maybe there's a feeling of calm and ease for a while, and then there's another surge, and then we ride that wave again. So we can bring awareness to the feelings, the urges, the impulses, the sensations in real time, in the present moment. And that can be a way of doing that, of kind of riding the waves of the sensations and the feelings, of working with a habit, the pull of a strong habit in that way, of staying with the direct experience. And then the after is what happens after we've either acted out an unhealthy habit or we've actually been successful in avoiding doing something unhealthy or doing something healthy. How do we respond? You know, if we've done something that feels good and what we wanted to do, really to take time to appreciate that, you know, as Rick Hansen, who wrote Buddha's Brain, he talks about it as taking in the good. you know, taking in those positive feelings, allowing yourself to feel that. Oh, yeah. Because we tend to focus just on, you know, exclusively on the negative. That's the brains we've inherited from the evolution, is to be really focused on, you know, what's going to threaten us more than what's going to benefit us. You know, they say, it's said that the research shows that in a relationship, like a marriage or a relationship, intimate relationship, you need 5 positive experiences to outweigh 1 negative one. Have you anyone experienced that? That, like, if you're, you know, a partner, for example, says something, you know, does something, says something negative, angry, it has a greater weight than, you know, an equivalent positive thing, you know, a nice thing that's said. That's because of the brains that we've inherited from evolution, that our species and our ancestors, the earlier species as well, were much more, their survival depended on being very attuned to what was negative and what was threatening. You know, if they missed a meal because they didn't catch the wild animal that they were chasing, well, they'd probably survive. But if, on the other hand, they didn't get away from the wild animal that was trying to eat them, then they wouldn't be able to pass on their genes. So we've inherited this focus on the, you know, on negative more than the positive. So it's important to take in positive feelings, allow ourselves to feel them. And on the other side, conversely, it's really important to be kind to ourselves and to be compassionate and to be forgiving when we haven't acted in the ways that we intended to or wanted to. Because if we don't, then the alternative is we start beating ourselves up. You know, oh God, I can't do this, I'm so useless. You know, whatever those stories are in the mind. And then they just compound this sense of a separate self that's not, you know, that can't be successful or can't achieve what I'm wanting to do. So the importance of being compassionate, being kind to ourselves. So those are the different time periods where we can bring awareness to our habits. And really what we're doing with mindfulness and habit change is we're trying to get a really good sense of this pattern of action or thought as fully as we can. You know, what are the elements that make it up? And I'm going to give you some questions after we've done a meditation and a reflection in a little bit that will explore some of these things. Maybe what we'll do now is a couple of things. Let's just take a shorter period of meditation, maybe 10, 15 minutes. I'll come back and say a little bit more about intention, the importance of intention in habit change. And then we'll do an exercise, a kind of a reflection, and which will be followed by some writing. So let's just take some time to just sit quietly. Take a few moments to settle and bring your awareness into your body. You might take a few deeper breaths just to help you settle and drop down out of the thinking mode some. It's inviting a calming of the body and the mind as you breathe in and breathe out. So I talked a little bit about intention, and we'll explore that a bit more in a while. But I want to focus on two other elements of mindfulness, two very central elements of the practice of mindfulness, of awareness. And these are attention and attitude. Attention, we can speak about it as simply recognizing what we're experiencing in the present moment or moment to moment. So just paying attention to what's present right now for you. Notice bodily feelings. Notice whatever mood or emotions are here right now. And bring awareness to thoughts. You know, is the mind busy, very active, or is it more calm, more settled? And simply recognizing your experience as it is right now. So attention, and the second element is, or the other element is, attitude. How am I meeting this moment? What's my relationship to my experience right now? Is there resistance? Is there clinging or wanting something? Is there disconnection or distraction, kind of moving away, spacing out? Is there a kind of busyness? Moving into the future. Just notice whatever is present right now and see if you can meet your experience with kindness and friendliness. So that you're consciously cultivating kindness, acceptance, curiosity, interest in your experience. So bringing a kind and non-judging awareness to your experience. And as a way of gathering attention, focusing attention, you might let your attention come to your breathing. Sensations of breathing in and breathing out. And let your breath be the focus of your attention. In breath, out breath. And when you notice that your attention has moved into thinking, maybe into the future or into the past, maybe just images or words, just pause and gently let your attention come back to the breath, come back to the body. So see how it is to bring a kind attention to your experience as it is right now. How is it to be here without leaning in into something you want or pushing away your experience? Or checking out, distracting yourself, just simply aware of what you're experiencing here and now. So we cultivate these qualities of attention by bringing awareness to our present moment experience. And when we notice that our attention has moved into the future or the past or daydreams, some narrative in the mind, just to come back again, just to notice that when we become aware of it. And then let the attention come back and incline the mind back to the breath, to the body, to this moment. And to do it in a way that's kind and accepting and curious. So focusing the mind, recognizing what we're experiencing, and allowing what's here to be as it is, to come and go in its own time. This is a poem attributed to Anais Nin. Kind of speaks to what it takes to kind of move towards making change in our lives. He says, "And then the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom." Say that again. "And the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom."